Welcome back, my patient Survivor fans. It is Saturday, and we are recapping your favorite reality show. It is episodes 10 and 11 of the 25th season of Survivor, and I'm Ralph. This is the Tribal Council podcast with my co-host Chris.
How's it going, guys? And this is a special episode because this is our 50th podcast. So not only is it a double episode, but it's also a milestone episode, or at least a pseudo-milestone episode. I'll acknowledge 50 is sort of a weird number to pick as a milestone.
But instead of 100, you're saying.
Right, instead of 100. But, I mean, 100, I question whether or not we'll get to 100, especially if we keep doing these double episodes. Between that and the, you know, who knows how much longer CBS is going to keep Survivor on the air.
Yeah, 50 is an arbitrary number anyways.
It is,
I mean, we could be celebrating the 44th episode 6 episodes ago. We could have,
yeah. I mean, it's a round number, but it's only a round number because we're in base 10, right? Because we use the decimal system. If we were using, right, yeah.
we could have
celebrated back on the 32nd episode, which would have looked like the 10,000th.
The hexadecimal system really loved the 3F episode. They thought it was amazing.
We haven't gotten to the 3F episode. 3F is 63.
The 2F episode.
Okay, the 2F episode was three episodes ago.
All right, good. There we People go. Loved it.
It was a great one, yeah.
The hexadecimal fans out there. This is a Survivor podcast, it has to be said. We have 2 episodes to do, so we should get to it.
Yes, we should.
Should probably open my notes. Chris, do you have anything to start with? I don't know. Like we left off with Pete getting voted off. No, Artis.
Wow, you jumped the gun there.
Hey, that's what we do.
Yeah, Artis got voted off. And then, I think the beginning of the episode 10 was sort of centered around Abby and Blair talking to each other about, like, who's in what alliance, and
it was a heart-to-heart. It was
yeah.
It was one of those times where your girlfriend calls you, Chris, and she's like, Chris, we need to talk. And you're like, God bless it. Like, yeah. What did I do now?
Right. Well, there was some analogy made of, like,
the end with, and we're not, you know.
You know, you can be at the top of an alliance, or you can be at the bottom. Abby said something about being at the top of their alliance, or being at the bottom of the other alliance. And,
yeah, right.
I mean, that's a valid point when the two alliances are equally strong and have equal chance of going to the end. But when one alliance is clearly sinking, and the other one is clearly going to take over, you're better off going with the rising stars,
yeah.
not just going down with a sinking ship.
I think it's different too when you talk about flipping from your alliance when some guy just sort of without any kind of backbone and without any sort of provocation starts voting with the other team instead of staying with his chosen alliance.
Right.
You know, that's very, very, you know, frowned upon, and
right.
You know, to be wanted and to be courted and go over if it's in your best interest.
That's another story.
It's hard to argue with in the end game, you know.
Yeah.
It's say, okay, like, this is what made sense for me. And like you said a few episodes ago, maybe it was 2F, you know, the argument that this is what was right for me at the time, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, you can't really debate that much.
Right. I have a note here that Denise told Scoopin and Penner that she wanted them to be her final three. Like, I, you know, a week plus later, I have no recollection of that.
Well, this was the episode. No, this was the episode where she told Scoopin that she wanted. I don't know if she told both of them. Yeah, she did, actually. Yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, she told them that this is what I want my final three to be, which is weird, given that neither of them are named Malcolm.
Well, right.
I guess she feels she can't beat Malcolm, I guess.
Well, she never wanted Malcolm there. Why would she want Malcolm there?
In her final three?
Yeah.
So she's been riding with all game.
No, that's now. That last 2 weeks ago was the episode where they were talking about making that final four pact. And
I know. That's later in the episode. I'm saying at the beginning of the episode, there was a scene. And I can vaguely recall it, but Denise is sitting on the beach.
Right.
Not Lisa, Denise. Denise is sitting on the beach telling Scoopin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
not Lisa. Yeah,
I
missed Denise.
Got it. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And she said she wanted to go with?
With Scoopin and Penner to the final three. Oh, which interesting. Again, is weird, given that neither of them are named Malcolm.
Okay, that is weird, yes.
Yeah. And do you recall that? Probably not.
I don't.
Well, I think the message, like I said, I think the message is she doesn't think she can beat Malcolm. I mean, given their circumstances, they basically went through the same thing, but Malcolm has been the better player, you know? He's
right.
Got the idol, he's played it properly, or not properly, however it is. And, you know, she just told him, like, look, this is, again, I think in hindsight, it's probably just a bit of gameplay to try to keep them close.
Yeah, probably.
Just sort of keep an eye on them. But it was a weird thing to say.
Indeed.
All right. Reward challenge. The team split off into young and old. Abby, Pete,
yes.
Malcolm, and Carter.
I think
versus
that was a random
Penner,
draw,
Scoopin.
Too.
It was. Penner, Scoopin, Lisa, and Denise. And the way it was designed, you had to turn all three of your drums up at one time. It seemed like it would just be a matter of speed and agility of moving from one to the other
right.
in a big chasing loop, which I would have found entertaining, except it ended up being decided mostly on people screwing up.
Yeah, it seems like it's just... You know, is it really that confusing, or is this? Do we think this is maybe just a result of they've just been on the island this long?
Too long, yeah.
And it's like it's hard to keep track of like what side of a drum is up right now,
or what color your team is on.
Was that because, true?
You know, Abby's been yellow all game, and now she had to flip over red, and I'm sure that was just messing
okay,
with her.
Okay, that's true.
And Jeff's like, Abby, do you know what you're doing? And she's like, No, I have no idea what I'm doing, Jeff.
Yeah, it was a weird challenge. It seemed kind of like a boring one, and I guess it ended up playing out
no,
a little better
a lot of
than you would have expected.
Maybe.
I mean, because I can't imagine that. Like, I can't imagine it was like that when the Dream Teamers. You know, Probst talks about the Dream Teamers in like his,
the people who try out the challenge.
Yeah, the team that dry runs the challenge for him, and I can't imagine it went like that with them.
Chris, how did like 23-year-old you not get an internship as a Dream Teamer like? You know, after watching, like, Survivor Australia, you know?
Like, I don't know. I
feel like that was your calling.
Probably. I would have loved it. But doesn't that...
You would have.
Wouldn't that somehow preclude me from ever being, like, an actual contestant
yeah.
on Survivor?
Right. But I feel like you've given a hope on that, too, given that you don't think the show's going to...
Well, now I have, but I hadn't
year,
then.
So. Nah. All right. So, they go to the reward, and Malcolm does a good job of just saying... Hey, we're not going to talk, and it's his way of shutting down any kind of politicking on their part of trying to get him to do something that he didn't want to be in that conversation, which I thought was, again, you know,
it was a nice
move. Wise move.
The weird thing
yeah.
was, is if I recall correctly, Pete seemed to be very pro this idea as well.
Yes, right,
which
doesn't make sense.
That struck me as really odd,
yeah.
But I feel like he had a decent justification for it, and I can't remember what it was.
Being tired of playing?
Maybe.
Which is not a decent justification
maybe.
In my mind.
I don't know.
I feel like he's had a lot of time to not play because he's been in control. So I feel like he should
being
not be
in control,
tired of
like
playing.
All your. I feel like if you're in control, you're spending
Chris,
every.
They didn't have a vote until
shoulder.
The merge. They didn't have a vote until the merge.
That's true, but you could make the case that that's actually even more nerve wracking because as we have often said, you know, no alliance is solidified until it actually has to make a vote.
Right. All right.
I mean, if you're the king of the mountain, like, it seems like a cushy gig, but you forget that you have to keep making sure that you stay on the mountain.
Yeah.
And that can be exhausting because you probably spend most of your day being paranoid. Especially if Abby is your number one ally. I would be paranoid at all times, but like...
Yeah. You know what, though? I've learned more about RC watching the Ponderosa videos, and I think... Pete actually made the right call.
Oh, really?
She is Looney Tunes. Crazy.
What, is she, there have been some more videos since. I've only watched the ones from her ouster and then from Kent's ouster.
Yeah, no, she's like they had to bring in like the survivor psychologist to like mend things with her and Artis so that like.
Oh, seriously?
They'd be civil to each other. Yeah, and like Penner comes in and he's like. Man, it's weird around here.
Oh,
like,
I gotta go and like, watch these things.
Penner comes in, he's like, I have like these basic skills, like how to make a drink, how to have a decent conversation without upsetting someone else, and like how to play a game. And like these, he's like, these are not advanced life skills. Like, people should be able to do this. But like, it's just been the most tense, bitter, standoffish, you know, Ponderosa you've ever seen. Like, usually people are happy to be there. It's like, okay, we're out of the game, so what? Let's like enjoy being on a paid vacation.
Right, you know? Yeah, and they're all usually fairly chummy, even though they were on opposite sides of alliances and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I gotta go watch these things.
You do. It's a good Ponderosa, if not an awkward Ponderosa.
I haven't been doing my my podcasting research.
I didn't know we were assigned research.
Well, I mean, if there's anything we should do, it's be as up as possible on... I mean, let's be honest. Like, Jonas, I think, does more podcasting research than either of us.
He does. He does a lot, yeah. Yeah. Him, Victor.
Yeah, they're more on top of it than we are.
Southern California.
Mike K. from SoCal, yep. Yeah.
All right, so there was a big, big moment here before the immunity challenge where Scoopin and Lisa... They're like, okay, we're down with flipping. Like, now what do we do? It's like, is our final four going to be with who? And Lisa offers up Penner as being the one she finds most trustworthy, mostly probably because of those several hearts they've had over the course of the season.
Yeah.
And I guess these are really good episodes to pair just because this moment certainly has its domino effect.
Indeed.
In the next one, for sure. But, you know, I think it was like... Malcolm and Denise offer the final four to Scoopin and Lisa. Scoopin and Lisa go off to talk about it. Lisa says, we should give Penner a shot. And then they give Penner the shot.
Did Malcolm and Denise approach them? I didn't remember that.
I don't recall which way it went. Oh. But I feel like they definitely had a conversation with those two before they decided separately that they were going to talk to Penner first.
Oh, okay. Well, you the know, thing I remember like... about this watching was they went to Penner. And I thought about this going in before we even heard him say anything. You know, it occurred to me that basically anytime anybody ever comes out up to you and says that, you say yes.
Yes.
You just say yes. It doesn't matter if you actually mean it. You just always say yes. Because you, A, stand only to lose from saying no. You have nothing to gain by saying no or by waffling. You will never gain anything by doing that. You might not gain anything by saying yes, but you certainly won't lose anything by saying yes. And then, of course, he goes and says, well, I don't think we're there yet. I want to just focus on... And that's just, I mean...
It's short-sighted.
He dug the hole. I mean, he...
Yeah.
He asked... He basically asked them, or begged them, to go ask somebody else to be their fourth. You know, you've got somebody who wants to lock up a Final Four alliance... And you told him you're not ready to do that. They're going to go find somebody else.
Was he worried that maybe we were getting ahead of ourselves, that maybe they'd vote off, like...
I think that was what how he was trying to couch it.
Malcolm and Denise before voting off Peter and Abby?
I think that's part of it. I think or at the very least, that's how he was trying to sell it to them, as sort of like, we need to keep our eyes on the prize, and that's getting rid of Abby and Pete first.
But others are trying to literally keep their eyes on the prize and
in reality,
figuratively, no. Conceptually,
I mean, in reality,
metaphorically,
I think what Penner, why he was saying that was, I think he hadn't thought it through enough and wasn't ready to say yes to them because he's not sure that that's who he wants to take. Or better yet, he already knew that wasn't who he wanted to take. That he didn't want to go with Scoopin.
He would have rather have gone with Malcolm and Denise. I feel like it's a tougher two to beat at the end.
That's, I would agree. I think you have a much easier time beating Scoopin and Blair than you do than you do Malcolm and Denise.
I don't know. Lisa's pretty sympathetic.
Lisa is a tough one to beat, but at the very least, she's the only tough one to beat.
Instead of both of them being tough to beat, Malcolm and Denise.
Right. Of course, on the other hand, you could have sort of like... you know, like in sports, the MVP thing, that like when you have two studs from the same team, neither of them ends up winning the MVP because they split votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so going up against Malcolm and Denise might actually be good because you're the one who stands out. You stand out in that crowd.
You're the other choice. Yeah. It's like you can choose one of them or you can choose the other choice.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha. Whereas
they both are making the same case.
Okay, let's go to the immunity challenge. We have... I thought this was good in terms of, like, getting in the water and, like, moving around, and it had lead changes and strategy choices, and mostly I just liked how Carter made every effort to stay out of the water. which was an interesting decision.
Right, and it ended up working out for him. That was a...
Yes, I think probably due to at least conservation of effort. You know, like, he wasn't, like, diving in and out of the
right,
water, like, all
yeah.
the time.
Right, yeah. What was it when he was, like, laying on the little platform mm-hmm. there and just...
And on the canoe, when he was yeah. on the kayak.
Oh, yeah, on the canoe. That was the place where it actually seemed to work best for him. On the platform,
most,
yes, I don't think it worked
right.
as well.
People were hopping in and out of the boat yeah. and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if you ever hopped out of the water into a boat. It's not easy. Like, I don't even care.
Yeah, yeah, especially yes, especially that direction, out of the water into the boat.
Yes.
Yeah, right. No, that seemed like a good strategy there. I mean, obviously it was not a big deal because by that point it was down to I think him Penner and
Scoopin?
Oh no, it was him Scoopin and Denise because Denise was in that challenge. I'm almost certain.
At the end?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no.
I don't recall exactly, but I think it was.
Scoopin' had a lead. That's what everyone hears, that Scoopin' had a lead late.
Okay, so it was Scoopin', Denise, and Carter.
Carter charged back. Yeah.
The important thing was is there was no Abby and no Pete. And so at that point...
Yeah, they
point,
went out in the first round. Like, it was like yeah. such a punt.
Yeah, it was a very boring immunity challenge.
Yes. Because after the first round, it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so... We get back to camp, and Pete and Abby, for a while, I thought they were doing a horrible job of scrambling, just because, you know, they obviously couldn't even find a sympathetic ear, but they got the right one. They got to Scoopin'.
Yeah, they did. I mean, well, because the right one is the one where... Because the thing is he's basically like a freelancer. Even though he's with Blair, he's basically a freelancer because he knows he's not going to be able to move Blair... So if he thinks that something's the right decision, he's not even going to bother going to her to hash it out. He's just going to do
yes.
it.
Yes. And that was his card to play.
Right.
So should he have played it, and why didn't he?
Well, I don't know. I think he probably should, actually.
I think he wanted to, too.
And I think he should totally have, because to. I think he would have ended up, you know... It's hard to say. I think he doesn't. I think either way, he's in a bad spot.
The problem is, if he flips, he lights on fire the votes of Lisa, Denise, and Malcolm if they go out. And that's three votes you're not getting.
And Penner and Garter.
Right.
However,
so what votes are you getting?
That's you're exactly right. Yes, he's not going to get any votes, but he's going to be going up against people who are much less liked. I mean, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
We've seen that. We've seen people, you know, give the money to unlikable people before, you know? Like, you know, I feel like it's happened.
Who?
Like Sandra, like at the Heroes Villains. Like,
she wasn't unlikable. She was just unaligned. Hmm. She just sort of, like, hung around and hanging around and hanging yes. around.
Yes.
Had to use my Rogers quote.
Alligator blood.
Exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I think it probably was a smart move not to do it ultimately, because at least he doesn't seem like a total flip-flopper.
Right, you made that pact yesterday, like, yeah. You can't break it the day after.
Yeah.
You cannot.
I have a note here about...
I think the only way he makes that flip is if... he received the idol from one of them. I think if he'd been given the idol, I'd be like, all right, I'll take my chance, you know?
Oh, yeah?
I think at that point, yeah. I think that would have been worth it.
I'm surprised that he didn't try to angle Abby to give up... Or wait, that was where... This is where they split the votes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I had a note here, about Malcolm making a long look at Scoopin. I forget where it was. I think it was before Tribal. Where it seemed like he almost knew that, like, Scoopin might be the one to flip, and he was, like, trying to get the read from him as if to say, like, because I need to play it otherwise. I may need to play my idol if it's...
Right.
And I thought... And actually, I think he knew... Did they know that it was possibly Denise that they would go after?
No, I don't think he knew that.
Okay.
I think he was looking out for number one.
I see. Or yeah. Actually, no, that wasn't Denise they were going to go after. They were going to go after... Or was it... Was it Denise? I don't remember. It's too long ago. We need to start potting every episode instead of every other.
Well, that's all right.
And the other note I have is that it looked like it looked like Malcolm also waited to see if Abby was playing it, playing her idol, so that he would know if he would even need to, because if Abby doesn't play it, then he knows he doesn't need to, and he shouldn't need to either.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, Pete goes home, not that big a deal. Oh, and this is the episode where Abby breaks down, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was everyone sort of telling Abby what they thought of her, and her trying to explain that the differences were cultural, but they were really more personal than that. It was not a cultural difference causing this misunderstanding. There's nothing inherently curt or rude about the Brazilian culture.
Right.
that she can necessarily point to, so...
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Let's move on to the next episode.
All right. Episode 11. Welcome back, Survivor fans.
Welcome back from the intermission.
Episode 50B.
50B?
No? Yeah.
Is this your attempt at a...
I don't know. We're chaptering it?
A hexadecimal... Oh. Oh, 50B. No. Got it. Okay. I thought you were trying to go to, like, hexadecimal numbers again.
That would have been a very large number.
That'd
in decimal.
Very large hexadecimal.
Okay. So, we have Abby still being the Abbiest.
The bus analogy was back.
Yeah, that's what I wrote in my notes, and I can't remember what was said. It was something about the bus.
It was the bus, and they ran over...
Do you want my notes, Chris? Here's what it said. I turned on the caps lock, and I wrote... I turned on the caps lock, and I wrote, the bus, exclamation point, question mark, and then, like, I repeated that, like, 8 times, and then, seriously. And I was like...
The bus analogy has been used so many times that it's basically been thrown under the bus.
Oh, you're the worst.
I couldn't resist.
You're the worst. Absolutely.
It's so good. It's so bad that it's good.
It is bad that it's good. I appreciate you using it in a horrible fashion as it's been used, so.
Exactly.
Like, next challenge, they should just have a bus and people have to get under it.
Right.
That's the challenge.
The last person to get run over wins the challenge.
All right, so Abby and, like, Malcolm, they go to, the, like, get the tree mail, and I feel like Malcolm's totally angling for her vote.
Oh, yeah.
By, like,
but it works. It's working, though, because, like, she's such a simpleton.
How come people, like, who was it last... I guess it was last season.
Kid
that
one?
Was, no, it was 2 seasons ago. It was one where not the tall Amazon women, it was, like, the shorter...
Sophie?
Brown hair. Sophie, yeah, the season. Alfred? What's his name?
Alfred.
Her partner, Alfred. No?
No, Albert.
Albert.
Yeah.
Albert was caught playing both sides.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, people called him out on it, and they're like, oh, you're playing both sides. We see what you're doing. And, like, ultimately, he ended up, like, stumbling over his final tribal council speech because he had been playing both sides. He didn't really know how to, like, you know,
he didn't know how to maneuver with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, Malcolm's doing it too, but I guess he's being a little more subtle about it.
He is, and he's also, I mean, he's also doing it in a, I mean, he's doing it with the one person left, like, no one's going to buy what she's talking about anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Or do they want to listen to it for much longer?
Exactly, like, yeah. She's definitely leaving, there's no worry that she's suddenly going to be sticking around, and then he's going to be stuck having played both sides or something like that. She's definitely going as soon as they get the chance, so.
All right, so the tree mail is the $500
exactly.
For the auction.
Auction is back. No, that's so good.
It's been back. No one had a brake job like Ralph. Or no, who was it? That wasn't Ralph. Who was the guy that had to get a brake job done?
Oh, that's right.
Country dude.
I remember that. I had forgotten yeah. about that. The guy who kept the money, wanted to get his, right. his shocks taken care of or something.
Yeah, right. Right. Not to mention that he's getting 6 figures for just being on the show. Like, for getting that
No,
part.
Not that much.
Okay, like, 50?
It is 4 figures, though. Right. Minimum, I think you...
It's at least five. It's, like, at least 10. Come on.
Once
they're getting at least 10.
I guess once you make the episode... If you make it to the episode
once
where
you
have
the
auction, probably, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So a lot of food offered, and Abby wisely saves her money because she knows there's a way to get... an advantage at the end, although she even tries to make her advantage a double advantage.
Wait, say that again?
She tried to make her advantage a double advantage.
I want to talk about the rest of the auction a little bit before we get to that, though.
Mm.
Like, I was surprised at a few things. First off, Denise was impressively not strategic about her bidding. Like, she went to five bills so quickly on, I think it was the second item. Or maybe it was the first item. I don't remember.
It was the first item. Yeah.
Like, and I know the first two items each went for full price.
They did.
And then Penner was in love with the chicken that he got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the look on his face was like the most, it would be impossible to convince me that that was nothing but genuine. Like, it was the most genuine look of love on his face when he saw that fried chicken.
Right. He's just like, you're in another place, man. And he's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, he was. And he was.
Gone,
yeah, exactly.
Somewhere else.
Right. But then,
he said in a post interview that he also won an ice cream sundae.
Exactly. Yeah, that was weird. That was surprising.
Why would you not show that?
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it doesn't take long.
Why
to
didn't
show
they
these
show
things.
Questions 2 and 3 in the immunity challenge?
Also a good question. Yes, I have that written down.
I mean, I would have loved to have known.
But
it sounded like the questions would be about the Philippines. I want to know more about the Philippines.
You know all there is to know already. You're Filipino.
I knew the 5,000 island question.
Did you really?
I did.
I did not.
Yeah, the thing is, like, just dotted with islands. All. Yeah. It's
I mean, is this counting, like, uninhabited little,
yes.
Like,
yes.
You know,
yes.
93
yes.
Square foot islands?
Correct. Right. Smaller than your bedroom.
The thing that I was surprised about was that Carter won his item and then was offered to trade it for all of those the beans and the rice.
Right.
And he seemed to not hesitate on it. And I was surprised, and I guess maybe they all were trying to do this and one person didn't go along with it. I thought for sure the second he does that, that everybody then just gives him the next item. Like, that he just bids $20 and nobody outbids him for the next item. Like, you kind of got to do, right? Like, I feel like that's the right thing to do there. Like,
that does sound like the right thing to do.
And it seemed like, and nobody, there was only one person who bid against him on the next item. And it was Blair. And yeah. I was shocked because she kept going at it. I thought maybe after one she might give in, or somebody might be like, you know, touch her leg and be like, hey.
Right, like, hey, cut it out.
You know? But, like, I was shocked that nobody gave Carter a walk in a bid.
Well, he even won something later, and guess what? You can't keep it. Like,
yeah, exactly. He kept winning the stuff for everybody. Yeah, that was sort of funny that it was him. And they always do.
How do you feel about the tearing apart of the veal shanks?
Yeah, the 1 minute. They did this before with the, like, chocolate cake.
They did
or
with
something.
The cake. Right, but the cake was fun because it was like there was cake everywhere. Like this one, okay, you're tearing meat off a bone.
They're both gross. It's just all gross. I don't know why they continue to do this. Like,
the chocolate
this does
one was
not
gross,
make for good television.
Fun.
This isn't good
the
television.
The veal shank was not good. No, yeah.
Like, nobody's watching this thinking, like, oh, this made the episode better. Like, this made me want to turn off the episode.
You didn't want to see another challenge where they had to, like, tear a pig apart with their teeth?
That's and, right. Like, I forgot about that from 2 seasons ago. Oh, that was gross.
That didn't make your day?
No, it did not. Mm. Did not at all.
Mm. All right. All right. So, on to the immunity challenge? Or do we want to talk about what happened
in between here?
Abby tells Penner that he owes her an apology.
Yes, exactly. She tells Penner he owes her an apology. He gives her sort of a pseudo one. You know, not really. I mean, anybody who's paying half a lick of attention realizes he's like, he's just trying to get her to shut up and not actually stir the pot with her. And then she goes off and decides that she's going to turn this clue into like false information, and there's an idol out there.
It's not a bad idea given that she played one, you know, and generally speaking, there's been a pattern of play an idol and one returns.
Yes.
In seasons past.
However, the thing is in the past, I feel like it's only returned once all the idols were gone. Like, because in the past, it used to be there was only one hidden immunity idol.
Right.
I was surprised. I was curious how she saw this playing out, seeing as she was going to get exposed at the immunity challenge. She did a decent job with it, saying there's
she
two notes.
She did a decent job.
Yeah, she sold it fairly
and
well.
And given how easily people have been fooled on this island,
yeah,
I didn't think it was a bad play.
Yeah, it wasn't awful. The thing that was no good, though, and I think she actually does this, oh no, she does it before the immunity challenge. She already claims to Malcolm
that she's
got it. And that was just weird to me. Like, I was trying to think about it, like, how does that sound, like, legit? Like, I don't think that sounds legit. If I were her, I would hold on to it and I would oust Malcolm. Like, of all people, actually, even better yet, I would hold on to it, let them all vote me out, and then I would get to cast the only vote that counted, and I would get Malcolm out. So, and let alone, even if she doesn't know that Malcolm has an idol, why would she go and tell him right away, or tell any of them right away?
I think she's got bigger axes to grind than Malcolm, you know, and obviously he seems like the only one that is a chance of being an ally for her.
That's true, I guess he was sort of,
sympathy.
Yeah. But I guess, like, if I'm going to think second level about this, I immediately would discredit this information because it
the
was...
The problem is with your assumption that she's thinking seventh.
No, not her. I'm talking about him. I'm talking about... Well, yes, I guess, yeah. She doesn't go second level, obviously.
No.
She doesn't even go first level because she doesn't even withhold actual legit information. that's not even the first level. That's like zero level. That's the, like, default level. Like, you don't tell your secrets.
Oh, hey, guys, idol, here it is. Let me wave it around.
I guess then again, maybe it's true to form. Maybe she's actually holding form and using it to her advantage that, like, she does just sort of spill the beans about everything. So why wouldn't she, you know, why wouldn't she just spill the beans right away that she had found another idol?
Yeah, I don't know. Why didn't she just throw her idol under the bus?
Exactly.
All right. So this immunity challenge, and I wrote at the beginning, I was like, you know, Jeff kind of summarized, I was like, oh, this would be better if the challenge was more physically, like, exerting. Like, I'm talking like Boss and Rob on the stairs.
Oh, drink, demanding, but, like, yeah.
Because that way it would be a real true advantage to get to the end stage and not having gone through the first two stages
right. For
Abby. Turns out the third stage was totally up her alley anyway, so it didn't even matter. Like,
right.
Getting to that point was what she needed because tiny fingers,
small body working through that little three-dimensional maze.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
I'd like to put my faith in the production staff if that wasn't, you know, a setup. But
yeah. It was really odd that we didn't... We didn't hear that second or third question. It would have, like, I would have been interesting to hear them.
Did it shock you that Carter missed both the other two questions?
I guess. I hadn't really thought about it. He does seem like a dummy.
Not the sharpest pencil in the box.
The thing that I think is so funny about this is Abby has now mastered sitting out of challenges to an art where she actually wins them by sitting out.
Correct. Yes. By not participating, she had an advantage.
She didn't participate in the challenge yet again, but this time managed to turn that into a win.
Right. Yeah, and it, you know, it was really frustrating watching her tear through knots. It's like, come on, this is like such a setup for her, and it was frustrating how much it was set up for her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hopefully that was just dumb luck.
They couldn't have added something else to other than untie this knot and push the ropes aside.
It is a bit odd though that the challenge, the first two rounds of the challenge
were one thing and the third
round was completely different. That was a little weird.
That's fishy.
Yeah. Fishy. Oh, by the way, I have another note in here. Denise is starting to look like Carrot Top. Like, her face, from being out there for so long now, she's starting to get kind of leathery the way Carrot Top has gotten kind of leathery.
Okay.
Her hair has the same curls. It's not quite as long as Carrot Top's, but...
And nor orange.
But it's it's got a little bit of an auburn tint to it. Like,
she's ripped, he's ripped, you know.
Yeah, she's starting to look like Carrot Top out there. I'm just saying, look for it in the next episode.
No, I can picture it. Yeah. I got it. All right. Okay. All right, let's go to the scramble. And Lisa's whining again.
Ugh.
And it's getting old.
She's so bad.
Yeah.
She's so bad. Scoopin is doing a good job coaching Blair through it. Like, he did a really good job sort of handling her. But it doesn't matter. I mean, Blair is dead on. Like, she is so bad at this game.
She is. Because
she just goes right over to Penner and tells him.
Yeah.
She just tells him.
It's like, hey, it's going to be you.
I mean, I give Penner a lot of credit because in the confessional, he appears to really own the mistake. He's like, I made the mistake of not saying yes when they came to me. Because clearly that's what put me in this spot. Like, if I had just said yes when the two of them came to me 4 days ago or whatever it was, then it's Malcolm or Denise who's going home.
Right.
But, you know, he owned the mistake, which I was impressed by. And he went the exact right route to go after Denise and try to swing Scoopin.
Mm-hmm.
Because Scoopin is better off. And this is a really good... This would be a really good move with Abby, Carter, and Penner.
Oh, yeah.
Way better off.
You just got to find a way to get off Penner.
Right. Yeah, because Penner would probably win in that group of four.
Mm, yeah, any of the other two of those three, he would defeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another note in here about Malcolm doing good damage control. I don't know what that's really. This was at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
He did do good damage control.
You know, they're just following some of the tweets of ex survivors and current survivors. Like, it's funny how the people who are in position of power, regardless of who they are, become a little bit grading and how they handle things, like just the eye rolls and like the other things, like,
yeah,
you just want them to handle it with some grace, which I guess is why we all appreciated the wedding dress store owner from last year.
Kim,
yes, the name was failing me, because she generally handled things with grace, and there was never a lot of swag and cockiness to it. It was just sort of,
sure,
doing what I can to stay alive, and it seemed very humble along the way, and it seems like Denise and Malcolm are starting to get a little head about the position they found themselves in after being on the bottom.
I guess maybe, yeah. Well, especially with Denise, offering like her analysis of Abby.
Yeah, that was like it had been done. Like we didn't need to.
Right. Well, although on the other hand, she is being sort of asked for it by Probst.
Yeah.
Probst does go to her as, like, the therapist in the group, but...
Yeah. Are we talking Tribal now? Is that what happened?
Yeah, we're at Tribal.
Transition?
There's not really much more to go.
So, what I have for Malcolm is that he asks Lisa, I hope we're in your heart, too.
Yeah.
That was his words. That was nice. It was a good touch. You know, you gotta appeal to her.
Yeah, that's what I meant by his damage control, is he knew who he was talking to when he said that. Like, if it's anybody else, that's like just a dumb line. But with her, that's exactly what you needed to say to her.
Yeah.
Of course, she wasn't the one he had to worry about flipping, really, because she was going to stick with them.
You know, Jeff really went for it going at Blair.
I see. I wrote that down, too. I was amazed.
Really,
I was like, Jeff,
it.
Like, she just told you it was off limits, and you kind of went after it anyway. Like, tried to get her to say more, and she basically dug in. And, like, Probst did not come out looking good there. That little move there cannot have done any wonders for the ratings on his daytime talk show.
as a soother,
as a guy on the couch,
sympathetic ear,
exactly, as the guy on the couch that you're just trying to tell like the nice story, like that did not do you any favors right there, especially between the like stay-at-home moms or something who happen to watch both shows, like that are interested in his talk show. That did not that's not going to curry him any favor with them.
I traded texts with common friend of the pod, Jonas. Mm-hmm. He was asking me why Penner didn't try to blindside Malcolm, try to do it quietly and, hope that he didn't play his idol or whatever, instead of trying to go after Denise. And My response to him was that basically that wasn't an option, because as in previous tribals, he had to play his hand open at tribal council and hope to get the swing, you know, just like that had happened before.
Yeah, that's part of it. But also, and then also because he has to, I mean, he has to be right. Like, he has to, because he knows it's him that's going here. It would be one thing if it was just sort of like a vote
just
going in the direction.
At it.
Right. A vote going in the direction that he didn't want it to go, and he's trying to turn things around. But here it's going directly against him. So this is his only shot at turning it around.
It has to be guaranteed, yeah. And Blair has shown herself, to, and Scoopin, too, has been shown himself to be swayable. In particular,
Scoopin, yeah.
Right.
I was surprised that there were, again, no talk of Malcolm giving the idol to Denise there as a just-in-case. Knowing that that was where they were sending their votes.
I think at some point you have to hope that the promises that were made, you know, stay put, you know, like... I don't know if they'd gotten any... I guess, no, you said that there was a point where he kind of gave him the eye to see if he needed to to play it, so...
Yeah.
Do you like Penner at the voting?
I'm not hugging anyone else. Oh, he yells back, Denise.
Yeah.
Denise! That was good. That was good.
We haven't had enough of that. Not nearly enough.
Yeah, that was a nice... You know, everybody knows their own vote, and so I might as well tell him.
And he's the one that spelled it denies.
Yeah, that was weird. That was very weird. That's the sort of thing people do to make it look like...
It wasn't me,
right? Like, I actually at first thought it was Abby who did that. I thought maybe it was a language barrier thing or something that caused her to spell the name wrong. And then I realized, no, wait, we saw her vote, and she didn't write that. She wrote Denise.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind
of... And then she proceeded to fold it wrong.
She did?
And not be able to fit, yes.
Did she fold it in half the long way?
She just folded it in such a way that it was askew. Like, it wasn't
okay.
Like...
It made like a V?
It wasn't... Yeah, it was a little V, and she tried to jam it in there, it wouldn't go, and she had to, like, refold it. It was a wonderfully awkward moment. This following her, childishly sticking her, like, the very... front quarter of her tongue.
Yes,
out at
it makes
Denise.
It looks like she. It makes it look like she doesn't even have a tongue. Like she.
Just
like
a
she
tiny
has like a
little
tongue
portion.
Nub.
Yes,
like
a little
like she
nubbin.
Was amputated as a child or something, which of course we know not to be true considering how much she talks.
Fair point.
But that shot of her sticking her tongue out looked like it was like a baby crowning or something there.
Oh God, let's not be crude. Oh, that's awful. It's a boy. Yay.
I also liked Penner's exit saying, I'm not going to hug anyone else.
Nope.
He had love for Carter and Carter only.
Nope. That was his only friend, you know, at the end.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, Malcolm made a good point. He said something before, in the confessional, before Tribal Council, that, it shows he's really playing the game wisely here. You know, it seems like everybody else was very much like, let's just get rid of Abby. And Malcolm really was not of that persuasion. He even said, like, he had to act like he was bummed out that Abby won, when in reality he was thrilled that this was going to give him an opportunity to get rid of Penner, who he views as a major, major threat.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. I'd forgotten that somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I missed it. All right.
It's just so much smarter than the sheep-like mentality we've seen of alliances down the stretch in the last few seasons, where it's the same, where it's this group of five or six who just they lock up and they don't see the bigger picture. They don't see that, you know, Sophie, Coach, and Albert are running things, or they don't see that Kim is running things, or
they don't do the math of like, only three of us will be there.
Exactly. You know, nobody.
Like,
yeah.
Guess what?
Everybody is too content to take this like, we do the job we need to do, and then we'll worry about the next round of the game.
Which is what Penner did, and he wound up...
Exactly. Exactly. And it's almost as if they make it sound like these actually are two separate rounds of the game, when they're not. It's all one big round, and so you need to be playing it like it's all one big round.
Survivor lessons with Chris. It's all one big round.
Exactly.
That's a good way to think.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not us and them. There's me and everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, just like we've said
you're
before.
Down there.
Well, no, yeah, that's true. There's that too.
I love your analogy.
But it's like we always, like the my criticism of Jeff Kent, like, what the hell? What the heck do you care about who wins this?
If it's a returning player, right? Yeah.
If you're playing this, worrying about who might win it besides you, that's how you make that's a great way to make sure that you don't win it. It's you and everyone else, not us.
You and 17 other not yous.
Exactly.
Who cares? All right. Chris, what's our online presence look like?
Our online presence, I don't know why I talk about this each week. I haven't gotten a single email.
It seems like the appropriate way to end the podcast.
I know.
We've
tweeted,
friend.
I've been tweeted at twice by a guy who would tweet at us anyway, regardless of what we say on the podcast.
Victor?
Yeah, it was Victor.
Yeah.
But, the Twitter handle is @tribalpodcast. Our email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net. And our RSS feed can be found online. The address is tc.vanby.net.
I think we've proven that we've done a wonderful job of throwing our online presence under a virtual bus. Somewhere.
Yep.
And it's destroyed and whatever.
I want to take this opportunity to throw us under the bus.
What?
Because it's amazing how unpolished our podcasts are even after 50 episodes.
Well, consistency, Chris, is what we're going for. We don't want the end user experience to change just because.
That's true. We would alienate our audience.
What if the core is so bad it's good, and we become good, and then we've lost the core.
We've lost the core, and the good people who would like a good podcast left long ago are never coming back because they listened a couple times. Like, this is awful. Who would listen to this?
Exactly. Why would I ever come back here?
Exactly.
Hey, listeners, we love you, all of you.
Exactly.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, you know, I'd love to tell you when we'll be back, but, you know.
Yeah, who knows? Scheduling, more. Technology, they all were against us this last week and a half.
It's a battle. But we made it. Hey, Skype didn't shut down, Chris.
It didn't. The Skype.
All right.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Have a great weekend, Chris.
You too.
You too, listeners. All right, bye.